This is session 201, New Media, So Many Options to Try. In this session, you will learn why it is important to investigate every new technology and tool, how to use non-traditional tools in developing and delivering new media content, the state of the art in today's new media tools, and how e-learning is reaching far beyond the desktop PC and into students' pockets. Our speaker is Doug Welch, technology new media consultant with the Welch Wire-Wright Company, Incorporated. Douglas E. Welch's premier podcast, Career Opportunities, is now in its fifth year of weekly production. He is a pioneer podcaster and computer consultant. Douglas consults on a variety of technology subjects in the Los Angeles area, teaches podcasting and new media for writers at UCLA Extension, and was on the staff of the 2006 Stevens College Summer Film Workshop in Columbia, Missouri, teaching new filmmakers how to promote and distribute their work using new media. And Doug, I'll bring up your first slide. When you can see that slide, turn your mic on and begin whenever you're ready.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, if you want to give me a little status message there in your chat pod, let me know that you can hear me. Again, thank you, Bill, for that wonderful introduction. I hear those bios and it's kind of like, gosh, that's sort of neat. Welcome, everybody. It's great to see so many people here this morning. It seems so appropriate to be using new media to talk about new media. And these whole webinar systems are quite amazing that we can actually have a talk like this with everyone all around the globe and be able to, you know, basically have a little discussion here, hopefully. That is an important thing I want to start right off with here is we're live. I'm sitting here in my office in Los Angeles, but you guys are wherever you are. And while I do like presenting in front of people directly, this webinar just provides us a lot more access to people out there. That said, it is interactive. We are here at the same time in the same quote-unquote room. So please interact with me, add your questions, your comments, brickbats. Does anyone even know what a brickbat is? Anyway, add them to the chat pod there, and I'll watch the chat very closely. If you have questions, comments, let me know. I'd really like to hear that. That will make this talk a lot more useful for you and a lot more entertaining for me. And basically, don't just sit there, okay? Like, I can hear you breathing out there in the dark, guys. First of all, why seek out new technologies? Well, as I'm sure most of you know already, there are new technologies introduced, created, released every single day. As a technologist myself, even I can feel overwhelmed with the amount of technological advancement that takes place on any given day. I get all those emails in my inbox about, hey, try out this new service and that new service and this new software and that new software and so on and so forth. The fact is, while it can seem overwhelming, it is so useful to people like us, both in e-learning, in technology in general, in my podcasting realm, whatever. It's so useful for us that these new technologies are created. We would be desperately in trouble if we didn't have so much innovation going on in the world right now. I've been doing computers for about 25 years. When I first had access to computers full-time in college back in 1982, yes, you can do the math, the state-of-the-art then and the state-of-the-art now utterly amazes me. My wife and I often talk about the technological advancements that her grandfather saw in his lifetime. Growing up, he grew up in a small village in Sicily, born around, I believe, 1896, and lived into the 1990s. We often wonder, could we see that much technological advancement in our own lifetimes? And the fact is, yes, we are. We are seeing it already. Compared to when I was in college in 1982 to now, the technological world has simply exploded. Now, with all that variety out there, of course, it's up to you to reach out and try out these new technologies. The fact is, you can only tell if a technology is going to work for you by trying it out. You can get reviews from other people. You can get, you know, advice, and you can maybe even like engage in a webinar like this. But if you don't use it yourself, it's sometimes very hard to see how useful it might be to your own daily work. Now, one of our biggest examples today, which I'm sure all of you know about, is Twitter. Now, Twitter was originally, about a year ago, saw, oh, isn't that cute and isn't that quirky and oh my gosh, I can't imagine how we'll ever use this in business. Of course, if you were following this week's CNN versus Ashton Kutcher contest about followers, Twitter has entered the mainstream in a large, large way. Now, again, is it useful for everyone? Probably not. Is it useful for some people? Yeah, in a lot of ways. People often come to me, especially about Twitter, and say, well, what's all this? Why do anyone care what you had for lunch or for breakfast? And I look at them and I say, if that's the only thing you know about Twitter, you're missing out on a whole lot. People often ask me, how useful is Twitter? And I say, well, I've booked billable hours off of Twitter. That, to me, bingo, it pays for itself. And the fact that it's free and accessible on my computer and on my iPhone make it all the more so. So don't dismiss a technology that you might run across today, something that looks cute and quirky and something like that. It's very possible that that same technology could become very, very, very useful down the road. It might not, and that's okay, but be on the lookout for those things that can really help you in your work. The trouble sometimes, and I'm sure you've heard this particular cliche before, that when you only have one tool, everything becomes a nail. You give a hammer to a kid and they will decide that everything is a nail. They will bang on everything without any concern about whether that's the right tool for the job. Too often in our work, whether it's in a corporate environment, whether it's in e-learning, whether it's our, as a consultant or freelancer, or even in our day-to-day life, we can get really attached to our tools. We can get really attached to Captivate or to Adobe Photoshop or to Microsoft Excel. And we learn everything there is to know about that product. And then what happens, though, is we try to apply that tool, which we know so well, to every problem that arises. Well, getting to know more about technology is one way of avoiding this issue. If you're constantly out there researching new tools, new products, new technologies, not trying to fit the square peg into the round hole, as Nicole says in the chat there, that is not only good for your company that you work for, it's also great for your career. I write about careers on a weekly basis. That's what my main podcast is about. And one of the things I'm always counseling people to do is expand their horizons. You may not be working for the company you're working for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years down the road. You need to develop skills that are useful in every career, in any aspect, any job you might walk into. You never know how your knowledge of Twitter is going to be useful, how your knowledge of Facebook might be useful to another company. But those are skills that are transferable. Those are skills you take with you. It's not like learning the internal system, the internal payroll system of a particular company that you work for. Typically, when you do that and you leave, that knowledge is absolutely worthless to you. The knowledge of it, well, you hit F7 to process the FICA and this, you can't use it somewhere else. Learning about new media, learning about all these new technology tools, and keeping on top of them gives you transferable knowledge you can take anywhere you go. So it's good both for your company and for your career. So I'd counsel you, one of the worst examples of this hammer and nail syndrome are people who knew how to make Excel, sit up, dance, bark, make their coffee, but they didn't know how to copy a file to a floppy disk. I used to run into that all the time. Less so now, mainly because there are simply fewer computers that use floppy disks. But the fact is, they were limiting themselves. They had one tool that they knew really well, and they simply applied it to everything out there. The other thing is using Excel as a database program, which, while it can do database features, it's simply not designed for that use, and often led to problems down the road. So, first of all, our first poll, and I don't have many polls because basically I'm going to be asking you guys questions as we continue on, is let me know, have you heard of any of these? Now, granted, when I made this poll, I didn't know Twitter was going to just explode in the last week. But I'm assuming, yeah, I can see Twitter there is about 90%, 100%, because it just simply had so much attention over the last couple of weeks. But these are a few of the services that I've investigated, some of which I use on a regular basis, some of which I don't. Again, it's how well they integrate into my life. And I see that no one is saying they've ever heard of Stickum, and we'll talk about Stickum a little bit later. It's one of the many video conferencing, video broadcasting services out there. So we'll talk a little about that. Ustream, some people. FriendFeed. Now, that's interesting because as popular as Twitter is, FriendFeed is kind of a Twitter alike with some different features on it and might be worth checking out for you. One of the things that FriendFeed provides is what's called a live stream. It allows you to pull in all your content from all your different services, from your Twitter, from your Flickr, from your, I'm trying to think what else, from your Google Calendar if you want, basically and consolidate it all into one spot. Okay, so that's interesting. It's some surprises for me there, but Skype especially, that one, I know Skype has been very popular in Europe because of the cost of the phone calls over there, and we actually have Sicilian relatives on my wife's side that we have Skyped with back on the island there. But here in America, it's really starting to gain some foothold as people get more used to having voice over IP. Oprah uses. Oh, you know what? That's a great comment, Elizabeth. Yes, I have had so many of my clients go, Skype, isn't that what Oprah uses? So it just goes to show you how the mainstream media can affect the use and the knowledge of something that's used to be considered a fairly esoteric technology out there. You will learn as we go on today. And if you ever heard me speak before, I don't know if anyone here in the room today actually heard me speak at DevLearn this year. I did a conference session, then I did an all-day podcasting workshop. But one of the semi-jokes, it's not really a joke, but free is my favorite word, followed closely by cheap. Typically in the corporate world, we're so used to expending large amounts of money based on, you know, perhaps what the salesperson has told us and the material we get from the company and maybe some online reviews from other people that have used the product. I am much more inclined to try things out on my own. I want to lay hands on things. And frankly, free trials, free software, free demos are a great way of doing that. And in fact, for me, is the number one way I decide whether a technology is going to work for me. Of course, what are the benefits? Well, little or no capital investment to try. You don't want to go out there spending hundreds, thousands of dollars on a product unless you're really sure that it's going to work for you. I apply the same rule to my paper library here in my office. It's rare that I buy a book, sight unseen, review unseen, and add it to my local library here in the house, mainly because, well, as you all know, you have a limited amount of space in your office for all the books that you might want. I prefer to read a book, typically taken out from the library first, read it, and then if it really, really speaks to me, if it's something I'm going to refer back to again and again, only then will I buy it. I'm not a big ebook reader yet, but moving in that direction as well. But again, I'm going to want to look at the book, know a lot about the book before I decide to add it to my library. Free software, free demos, free services on the internet are a great way of exploring all this technology without costing you a lot of money. Thank you, Rob. Yeah, well, you know, it's a small library because, again, you don't have that much space. Rob said you must have a great library. Between my wife and I, who are, she's a college professor now and a television writer as well, and myself, we both work from home. So, yes, the library keeps expanding. You keep adding bookcases as you go, that's for sure. Obviously, free software, cheap software, free services help you stretch your budget, especially in these times. Our budgets are stalled, or they may even be shrinking. You may even be losing staff. It's important to be able to fill in the holes of expensive software with what I call good enough software and services. They may not be perfect for what you're doing. They may not have all the bells and whistles or all the features that you need, but the fact is your job is to communicate knowledge. And if that knowledge is communicated with this software or the other software, to me it matters little what software I'm using, what service I'm using to communicate that knowledge. It's more important that I communicate it. It's what I often tell to the new media people I talk to, that the power of new media is in the doing. If you sit around and talk about it, much like we do in the entertainment industry here in Los Angeles, you talk and 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 so on and so forth, and very little gets done, or it takes forever to get things done. These services, this software that's available to you, allows you to get something done. No, hate to quote Larry the Cable Guy, but get her done you know, is a very useful phrase in my book. Our effect on the world really is dependent on getting stuff done. And if free software and free services allow us to do that, we should take advantage of that. Now, that said, what if you really like a service? What if it really works for you? What if it's really going on? One of the great things that a lot of these services provide are pro accounts, or what the so-called white label versions of these services. These are services which you subscribe to, you pay for, and you either get extended services in the case of a pro account, or with white label. What that means is, if you think about the back in the 1970s, the old generic foods that had, you know, the black and white labels that corn, you can actually buy a service and then label it with your own logos, your own materials, your own brand, and basically provide a service directly under your own brand that most people will have no idea that you're using an outside service. One of the services that I'm using right now in its free mode is ing.com, and I realize I don't have a slide with a link in it, but I'll put that in the chat room here. And if you haven't heard of ing.com, ing.com allows you to create your own social network in about 5 minutes. It's an amazing little service. And while, yes, we can set up forums, we can set up discussion groups and stuff on our websites, the fact is ing.com, with a couple of entries, gets you up and running in just minutes and provides lots of access. You can have video sharing, audio sharing, you have forums, you have a photo sharing. It basically creates a mini Facebook for you. If you decide to move up to their pro version, you can actually remove all the Ing branding, all the ing.com branding on the site, and make it look like it's your own site. And you can actually modify it in dramatic ways that you would have no idea unless you're a techie like me and go, oh, I can see how these things are laid out. That's an Ing site. Most of your clients, most of the people out there will never know that that you're using ing.com for that. I did put the URL in the chat room, but I'll say it out loud as well. It's ing.com, ing.com. And if you're in the chat room, there should be a link right there for you too. If you would like to see one of these sites in process, I'll do some, hopefully not too blatant self-promotion, but this is the site I have created for my career podcast. And you can see this is in the free version again, so you'll see the ing.com branding on there. I haven't decided to move that up to a pro account yet. It doesn't have quite enough traffic yet. But that's an example of a somewhat of a white label service where you can brand it with your own stuff and basically make it appear as if you're this great company with a huge budget and lots of neat stuff going on. You are a tech geek. Now, I can hear the screams over the wires going up. No, I'm not. You might not want to be a tech geek today, but the fact is, you are anyway. We all are. Back a few years ago, five years ago, I could have excused someone who didn't have an email account or perhaps didn't check it regularly. Today, I liken someone who doesn't use email on a daily basis to someone who doesn't know how to dial a telephone. Email has become an important and integral part of our lives and our businesses. In our lives, for example, something as simple as organizing snacks for the Little League team and monitoring the schedule for the Little League team, up to myself using it for business. That's how I communicate with my podcast listeners. A lot of my clients actually will email me instead of phone calling me to set up an appointment. And in some cases, I even have services where they can enter their own appointment right into my calendar. So embrace the fact that you are a tech geek. It's okay, really. Let me see here. I need to move the next slide. There we go. It's okay to be a tech geek, and you sort of want to be a tech geek because there are so many advantages to understanding technology, to embracing technology, to not being afraid of it. Technology is just one way, one further way to accomplish your goals. And again, we talked a little bit earlier there about your goals as e-learning professionals is to transfer knowledge. Frankly, technology is one of the best tools we have at our disposal, all different technologies, and they grow every single day. We really need to embrace them and use them in as many ways as possible. it's not something to be afraid of, as I said earlier. A lot of times I hear from people about being overwhelmed or being afraid they can't understand it. I in my own personal consulting life, I have dealt with a lot of people who says, well, I can't possibly understand this. I can't possibly use this tool. It's simply too complex. It's too weird. I don't, you know, I'm not a tech person. And the fact is, I don't believe that from anyone. I work with many, many clients who are in their 60s, 70s, 80s, even 90s. They are using technology every single day. They may start off with email to the grandchildren, and all of a sudden they say, well, I need to be able to download these pictures and print them. And then so we get into the printing of them. And like, before you know it, we're setting up Skype video conferences between them, their children, and their grandchildren, wherever they might be around the globe. And it just grows from there. So because I deal with people of all different ages, all different, both genders, all different areas of work experience, I know that all of us have the ability to use technology. What the most important thing about technology is we need to find a place for it in life. We need to find that one reason to use that email, that one reason to use Skype, that one reason to use whatever technology that makes it useful to us. And that's a point where we can jump ahead and say, wow, this is pretty neat. And then we sort of become the rolling snowball at that point. We start to gather more and more information, and it just gets better from there. Technology also amplifies your efforts. I've often used a term in the past with my new media people of the new media multiplier. How many people have played pinball out there? I mean, it's not quite as popular as it once was. I'm old enough that I would, you know, go down to the local dairy bar in town and play pinball with my friends during the the summer months. You know, in a pinball game, you have the bonus levels one time, two times, three times, four times. You know, your goal was to get more bonus because then at the end of your particular round, you would get more back from the points that you scored, right? Well, new media and technology in general acts as a multiplier. If you can use one method to present your ideas, for example, here we are in this webinar. We have 62 people in the room, actually probably about 60 people in the room right now. You're hearing this message. Now, the fact is, I'm sure these are being recorded. I'm recording the audio here myself, in fact, just for my own edification. This webinar could then be podcast. It could then be put on a YouTube or video sharing site. It could be shared on CD or DVD. Every time you get another use out of this media, you are multiplying your efforts. What great way that is to multiply our own effect on the world. Each time we use our content in a new media, in a new technology, we've multiplied the effect that we have on the world. I look at that every day and go, man, that is so cool. Where we might have been known within our department, within our company, within our corporation, now our content, our information, our knowledge can be shared across the world by using technology, to which I say, let's use it. Let's really make the best use of this that we can. Now, of course, we talked a little bit, I mentioned earlier, about the being overwhelmed. And the fact is, you need to be overwhelmed in some ways, but in a good way. I often have people say, well, where do you find all these neat things? There's a variety of sources, from some of which you're probably already using. The fact is, blogs are a great source of information for new technologies, new services. There's a few out there that you can follow. Depending on your interest, you'll have your own unique set of blogs that you follow, that you read on a regular basis, because you've learned over time or through the recommendations of others that there is great information to be had there, information that you will sometimes be the first one in your company, the first one in your corporation to actually hear about. And so you'll become the star of the information sharing in your company because you're simply going to be finding out about these things earlier. Now, of course, visiting blogs on a daily basis. In the chat room, if you could, how many people are using RSS feeds to look for new information or to monitor existing websites? If you're not, you're really missing out on a huge resource. Frankly, for my own purposes, if we didn't have RSS feeds, even I, as a tech geek, would be going mad trying to follow all this information. And what I think you're going to find is that the technological world would not have grown as fast as it had without this easy ability to monitor websites. RSS feeds, I see Gail says she's not familiar with these, so a little more info on RSS feeds. You will notice these days that there are lots of sites, whether they're blogs or regular websites, which, by the way, a blog is just a website, just a kind of a special purpose website. On these websites, you'll see a little, typically it's a little orange icon, which looks with like little radiating radio waves in it, square orange with white waves radiating in it. What RSS feeds are is that stands for Real Simple Syndication, and this was a technology invented by Dave Weiner, whereby blogging software, and there's other software that create these feeds as well, RSS feeds are a machine-readable version of a blog or a website or an information source, like Craigslist or something like that. What this means is you can use then an RSS reader, which for all purposes looks very much like an email program, and you can say, ah, Doug's blog, there's Doug's blog, and there's his RSS feed. If I add that RSS feed to my RSS reader, it will tell me whenever Doug posts something new to that blog. I don't have to go back to that website every day, every couple of days, and look at the website and say, is there anything new? Is Doug posting anything new? Instead, the information comes directly into my reader, comes directly to me, and allows me to very quickly browse hundreds of different news sources, if you will, for new information, tips on existing services, status information on is Twitter up, is Twitter down, is Blogger up, is Blogger down, little things like that. It can be used in so many different fashions, but the most important thing is the information comes to you. You don't have to go out there looking for it. In my case, I monitor right now I'm up to around 400 different RSS feeds. And those are a wide variety of feeds. As I said, there's blogs in there that I have subscribed to. That's a term they use. It's typically free, but they use the term subscription. You're subscribing to the blog when you put their RSS feed in your reader. But there are straight ahead blogs. My Ing sites that I mentioned earlier, they actually have an RSS feed for any activity on that site. So I don't even have to go back to my community sites and say, well, what's happened? Who's posted what? It comes right into my RSS reader. I can say, ooh, Doug posted a new event, and Paul posted a new message about this, and Jennifer posted a new message about this. I can basically, through my RSS reader, just monitor all these different news sources, all these different activity feeds, all these different, in some case, Flickr feeds. I can get my the photos of my Flickr contacts. These are basically your Flickr friends. I can have their photos come right into my RSS reader whenever they post something new, and I can very quickly page through them. Now, in this case, I'm going to skip down a little bit in the slide, but for RSS feeds, Google Reader is my main tool, my best friend, my best buddy. Google Reader is, like all the Google sites, an online piece of software, if you will. It's an online service whereby I can subscribe to all my RSS feeds and have them collected in one general area. And I realize I did not link that one thing, so let me type that in real here, reader.google.com. Okay? So again, it's reader.google.com. I highly recommend you go try it out. There are also pieces of software that run directly on your computer, applications which run right on your Mac or right on your PC that also do similar things to Google Reader. And I was using one of those before. I was using NetNewsWire, which I still recommend. If you're using a Mac, highly recommended. On the Windows machine, Feed Demon is I believe, the same company on the Windows side. What happened with me was NetNewsWire, I got an iPhone, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit, and NetNewsWire did not run very well on the iPhone. And when I switched to Google Reader, it was an amazing change. In fact, switching to using Google Reader allowed me to basically increase the number of feeds I was following by probably a good 50 to 60 over the last couple months, mainly because it's so easy to quickly browse through them and just go bang, 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 whether it's on my iPhone, on my Mac, on my PC, on a friend's computer, whatever, no matter where I'm at, I can very quickly do what I call, what I've come to call my magazine reading. Reading my RSS feeds has replaced every print magazine I used to subscribe to. Looking at the chat room here, Betty says, has anyone used FeedDemon? FeedDemon, again, I liked it. It's of all the readers on the Windows side, it's probably the best, I think. Rachel also mentions Google Alerts, which is another way that information can come directly to you. Google Alerts allows you to basically say to the news service on Google, Google, when you see a mention of this phrase, send me an email. I have one set up for podcasting. I have a bunch of them set up. Whenever any news story mentions the word podcasting, I automatically get an email in my inbox that says, hey, here's an article about podcasting that was just added to Google News. Great service as well. Twitter, as we mentioned before, another great resource for new technology, new ideas. When a new service gets launched these days, it is more likely that you are going to see and first hear about it in Twitter than anywhere else. Typically, a lot of people who are launching new service will say, hey, here's a new service, try it out, here's your invite, and you know they're only going to let a certain number of people in initially. And if you're monitoring Twitter, you can see that and get in on new trials and new software right away, very early in their development cycle. And actually, in some cases, have an effect on how that software, that service develops. So again, Twitter, much more real-time, much more interactive, but a great way. You'll often see things called retweets. Retweets are basically people passing along information that they saw from another Twitter user. That it's like if you want to think of it like an email forward, but I find them much more useful. So often you'll hear, even though you're hearing second or third hand, it's still very, very current information. Your friends and your family are also great resources for new services and new software and stuff out there. Don't dismiss that. In your family, I'm sure you've got a couple fellow tech geeks in your family and in your circle of friends. And I really like sharing information between all of my friends and my family about these new sites. Now, again, Google Reader makes it very, very, very easy to share your neat finds with everybody else. When you're reading things in Google Reader, and in some of the software also available, the applications that run on your computer, with Google Reader, there's a share button at the bottom of each item in your RSS feed. I can click that share button, and perhaps I don't have time to blog about the item right now, or perhaps it's just not important enough to require in a complete blog post. But people can actually then, one, subscribe to my shared items RSS feed. I know it sounds funny, you have an RSS feed from your RSS reader, but it's a great way of doing it. When I click share, Google Reader automatically creates a web page, and it creates an RSS feed for that web page that people can monitor in their RSS reader. So when I share something, they automatically see it in their flow of information coming in. The other thing that can happen is when I share something in Google Reader, within about an hour, it gets automatically Twittered out to my Twitter account. So everyone who's following me on Twitter suddenly sees that I have found something neat in my Google Reader and shared it with the world. Highly recommend that you do this. This is a great way of not only expanding your own knowledge, but basically by sharing the wealth, you raise your visibility in the community, your visibility within your department, your company, your corporation, your industry, the world. And in my talks on new media, I often have a whole riff on this need for visibility today, this need of raising your own profile in the world, telling people what you do and how well you do it. Well, guess what? Sharing information is one of the best ways you can do that. I see that Rachel has put in a nice link to the Google Alerts page there in the chat room. So if you'd like to check that out, please click on that link and go check it out. And Stephen Atchison says, I use Google Alerts to remind me of events scheduled on my Google Calendar. You know, it's just amazing the different ways that you can use RSS feeds to do stuff like this. And alerts and everything else. It's quite amazing how everything gets pushed together. Now, something that I hear a lot with technology and with working with knowledge transfer, which I'll use that as a generic term for what all of us do, people seem to think it's a lot of extra work. when I try to convince people to blog or to do new media projects or to start their own podcast, it's like, oh, so much extra work. I have to do this. I'm gonna, and I try to bring them back to the point of it's not actually extra work. The first thing that you're doing, and this goes for monitoring all these new news sources to find these new technologies, these new services, and to check them out, is you are already stumbling across these new services and these new pieces of software every single day. What you're not doing is you're not capturing what you see on a daily basis. And this goes back to what I was saying about sharing, the share button in Google Reader. Again, it may not be something I'm going to blog about right now, but when I say share, it's interesting enough that, one, I want to share it with my friends, and two, it's marking it for my own purposes that I can say, oh, you know what, I want to go back to that. I don't have time right now, but I know I'm going to want to go back to that later. And so in sharing that, I basically bookmarked it for myself as well. Too many of us let content like that simply slip through our fingers every day. When we solve a particularly intractable problem, when we discover a new method of doing something, when we have a new piece of information that other people don't have, we need to make an effort to capture that information. Then we'll find that sharing it with others, building on it, trying out new software becomes much less of a task because we've already captured it. And then when we do have a few moments to investigate these new services, we look back at our list and go, what was I thinking? Oh, yeah, I want to go check that out now. Or, oh, you know, I want to tell everyone about this because, frankly, this is a great, great way of doing this. You've got to capture it. I make a joke when I'm doing an in-person presentation. I always have my paper journal close at hand. And I, at some point in the talk, I say, here is my high-tech, high-quality, archival information gathering device. The fact is, yes, I have an iPhone. I carry it in my pocket all the time, but I carry a paper journal with me all the time to very quickly capture those things that might otherwise disappear. Something that someone mentions, an idea that pops to me while I'm giving a talk, or I'm just simply sitting around talking with friends. If you do the same thing when applied to gathering these new technology tools, you're going to find that it will actually make your life easier, not more difficult. It's not more work. It's simply making the best advantage of what you already have coming into your life. Again, adding RSS feeds, adding Twitter, adding Google Alerts, adding all these devices which bring information to you is so important because it actually makes you much more effective. It makes your life easier. You will be the golden boy or golden girl of your company because you will be the source of new information coming into the company that you can then share with everyone around you. So, what are the different categories of all these new technologies that are out there? We're going to enter in now to kind of a listing of some of the neat stuff that I've come across in the past, and some things I use regularly, some things I don't, some things I'm just checking out myself. Well, the basic categories that I broke this down into is we have audio conferencing. Basically things, you know, somewhat like this webinar where we have the ability to, in this case, I'm talking to you, but in smaller groups, we can actually have people talk back to the host as well and actually carry on a full teleconference, if you will. We have video conferencing. The fact that video conferencing exists for free via a free service these days where I can broadcast from anywhere I have an internet connection to the world simply amazes me. What used to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars in satellite time and satellite trucks and fancy cameras and everything else is basically now free. That one still to this day blows me away entirely. Live video streaming, video conferencing, live video streaming is part of that, basically broadcast out. Webinar systems like this one that we're using today, Adobe Acrobat Connect. There's several others out there as well. Blogging and microblogging. Blogging services like Blogger.com and WordPress.com and Tumblr and Google shared items and all this stuff. Video sharing like YouTube and Vimeo and Fiddler and on the hundreds of other ones that are out there. Link sharing like Tumblr and Delicious and a host of other services. One of the important things I want to stress too is oftentimes these technologies are most useful when used in combination with one another. You might be combining two or three or four services together to create a bigger whole. For example, for my career podcast, I have a blog created using WordPress. I have a podcast, which goes along with it, which is an audio presentation with an RSS feed so people can subscribe to it. Then I have the community site I mentioned earlier, developed via Ing. And then I have a set of delicious links that people can follow for career links that I find interesting, and so on and so on and so on. You might, in the case of a more media-rich thing, you may take the chat board from one system, the whiteboard from another, the audio from another. You know, don't be afraid to experiment, as I say there. The goal is to make these technologies as useful as possible to you. The technologies themselves, the services themselves, have no value sitting there by themselves. You know, oh, wow, it's cool. Yeah, I can do this. But if you don't use them, they're of no value at all to you or the company creating them. So don't be afraid to experiment with them and to gather them up and to find ways, you know, you've probably heard of the term mashup, finding ways of mashing up all these different technologies, all these different services, and bringing them together into something that serves whatever need you have. Use all the technologies at your disposal. Cell phones. Most cell phones, I'm amazed, the free cell phone you get with your contract at the cell phone store now has a decent camera. The ones we just got recently from my wife is actually an MP3 player. It can record audio. Through using your cell phone as a telephone, you can call various teleconferencing and recording services, which actually record audio. It's amazing just with our simple cell phones. We have our digital still and our digital video cameras. The Flip Minnow that you see there now is 720p HD quality video. I'm still impressed with the quality of the video and the audio off the Minnow cameras. And you can carry them in your pocket. This is just, again, totally amazing. Something we would have never thought possible even just 10 years ago. Portable audio recorders of all different sorts. I'm actually recording today's talk on an old iRiver MP3 player recorder that is about the size of a lipstick or a chapstick. It records over 8 hours of audio into that little lipstick-shaped case, and then I can bring it directly into my computer. It's already digital. Lots of devices are having GPS in them now. Again, so many different ways you can use that. Nearly any technology out there can be applied to your work in some way. It's just you figuring out at what point it would be the most useful thing. And thinking, you know, oh God, I'm going to say a horrible cliche, but thinking outside the box. Think outside the box. In this case, think outside the computer and think about what you carry in your pocket on any given day. Even to the point of, as I said earlier, my paper journal. You know, a lot of people dismiss that method of information gathering these days. But if you look at any of the Moleskine websites out there, there is this almost religious fervor around those particular notebooks. But the fact is, it's the notebook and the use of the notebook that makes it most useful, just like any technology. Now, frankly, the iPhone, Apple's iPhone, has become the single most useful device in my kit. The fact is, it's with me all the time. It has a decent camera. I have used it to record audio. I, in fact, have even done the jailbreak on my particular phone so that I was able to record video. The photos that I take with the iPhone, I can easily and immediately post them online to a variety of sites. There's an interesting photo site that I use, which is available for other cell phones as well. It's shozu.com, and I'm putting that in the chat room, shozu.com. With Shozu, and there's an app for the iPhone on other phones that uses a Java client for your phone, I can take a picture, and I believe Shozu works on BlackBerry, by the way. Nicole just said, any thoughts about BlackBerry? Yes, BlackBerries, totally. I mean, use them for everything you can use them for. I'm pretty sure they do audio recording. They don't do video, but they do have cameras in most cases. Make the most use of whatever you carry in your pocket. With Shozu.com, I can go in and I can set up a series of sites that are what they call carbon copy sites or CC sites. So I basically bring up the Shozu app. I take a picture. I say, yes, that's the picture I want. I title the picture. I can describe it if I want. I say, send. It sends it to Shozu. Shozu then forwards it automatically to Facebook, to Flickr, to my local blog. It also Twitters it out via TwitPic and so on and so forth. And it actually has about another 30 or 40 services that it supports, all from my iPhone. anywhere I have a data connection on my iPhone, I can produce media. I can share knowledge with people. Frankly, that has been amazing to me. The iPhone for me has replaced several devices. It replaced my old, cheap, you know, free cell phone. It replaced my, for the most part, it replaced my digital camera. I still have a digital still camera that I, you know, whatever. If I'm going to take quote unquote pictures, I will take that camera. But in more and more cases, the photos you see in my blog, the photos you see in my Flickr account were taken directly on the iPhone because they're meant to grab a particular point in time. They're meant to document, hey, I was here at this, I was speaking to this event, so on or so forth. It also has a the GPS functionality. With years ago, when I think, well, how would I use a GPS? The first GPS I actually bought, I used for this sport, if you will, called geocaching. It's basically a treasure hunt system where people hide a little box of trinkets in an area, and then you use the GPS coordinates to go find it. Since that time, though, I've become absolutely sold on GPS. I love the fact that I can GPS mark my photos. I can tell people, hey, I'm here using my GPS, and so on and so forth. Now, Cheryl asks, can you play Flash files on it? I'm assuming you mean on the iPhone. The fact is, on the iPhone, no. But, and will it come or not, who knows? The fact is, though, if you were to export your Flash presentations to an MP4 file, you can basically watch that on the iPhone. And there's even some systems online, some services online, that will automatically do that for you. I know Blip.tv, which is a video sharing site, and, of course, you're hearing the wonderful nature of Los Angeles here that I can turn off all the phones in my house, but you can't make the helicopter stop flying overhead. So if you hear that, that's what that is. But Blip TV will actually provide a player that, you know, you can embed the Flash video in your website. But if an iPhone person hits that same webpage, it will actually serve up an iPhone-ready video file. Of course, YouTube already does that through their partnership with Apple. If you click on any YouTube video, it will also show up. So might be a little bit more work for you. Theoretically, Flash is coming. With the changes happening with the iPhone, with the new firmware coming out for the iPhone in June, we might actually see that move forward. I haven't heard any direct results that that's what's going to happen, but there are certainly ways of taking the content you have in various forms and getting it into a standard format that will play on the iPhone. So, again, just to reiterate, iPhone's become one of my most useful devices. It's always with me, and I use it in 100 different ways. The applications on it are amazing, and it's just one of those things where, since it is so ubiquitous, it is in my pocket, it's easy to just whip it out and record an interview, to record a piece of video, to take some photos, whatever I need to capture, again, that content that I want to capture. Audio conferencing. One of the first categories we talked about there. A lot of people have not heard of TalkShoe.com. That's the little first graphic there on the right. TalkShoe is actually an interesting service. It basically allows you, at its very heart, it's a teleconferencing system. It's free. It uses VoIP, so you can actually bring in callers for free without them making long-distance phone calls, or you can bring in people via cell or landline phones as well. What we podcasters initially adopted it for was doing live call-in radio shows. You have the ability, you have a integrated chat room, and you have the ability for people to raise their hands, and then, much as you would on a talk radio station, you can say, oh, caller number 3, Doug from Los Angeles, you had a comment, and you unmute them, and they start talking with their microphone, and people can hear them, much as if they'd called in. They can also call in on their normal phone, and you can do the same thing with them. So it allowed us to basically recreate talk radio in a digital fashion that we could then record and present as a podcast or as a player right on our website. And it really helped to create these kind of nice integrated radio shows. Well, as you can imagine, though, that same teleconferencing system could be put to 100 different uses. And so if you have a chance, check them out. Blog Talk Radio, somewhat similar. Again, you can bring in your interviewees as phone calls, either via normal phone, via VoIP, via landline, whatever, and bring them into a show and actually record an interview, even if you're halfway around the world from each other. FreeConferenceCall.com is only free from the standpoint of if people call in with their phone, they still have to pay long-distance charges, but as many more of us now have free long distance on our cell phones. That's actually become a viable system of basically holding conference calls in a way that would normally cost you, you know, probably $100 or so to do for your company. It's also great for, all these sites are great for kind of ad hoc learning environments where there's suddenly something that comes up where you really need to transmit a certain piece of information to a certain group of people, and you can do it on a very ad hoc basis, saying, here's an email, go to this room at this time, we're going to talk about this. Skype, of course, that we mentioned earlier, which a lot of people said they'd heard about, has the conference call system where you can bring a bunch of people, I think it's at least 6 and maybe as many as 20, into a Skype conference call and basically have a conference call that way. Please let me know in the chat room, what are your favorites? Because, of course, I can't know everything out there, no matter how much I dig around in the tech world. But if you have your own favorites for audio conferencing and for any of the other categories coming up, please go ahead and drop those in the chat room. Again, it's all about sharing, so share them with your fellow attendees here. Video conferencing. If you have a Mac, you know all about iChat. If you don't have a Mac, or even if you do, you may know about the video chatting in AOL Instant Messenger, which actually ties in with iChat, because iChat is really just a AOL Instant Messenger client at its very heart. TalkBox.com, which is something that a lot of people don't know about. TalkBox is a web-based, I don't think it requires any downloads beyond Adobe Flash. It is a conference site where you can have a 6-person video conference ad hoc. You simply make the room, send people a link, they all come into the room, and you can sit there with 6 people and have a video, audio-video chat right there. Uvu.com is a application that runs on Mac and PC, and it does similar things where it allows you to have up to 6 people in a chat room, and audio-video chat actually has an integrated chat room, file transfer, and a couple of other features. Now, Pamela says she loves her BlackBerry. However, I recently jumped to the iPhone, trying to adjust to it and the touch keyboard. Can only use one finger to type. You know, Pamela, I will say the iPhone, the weakest thing about the iPhone is the keyboard. I find that I tend to type with my 2 thumbs much like I would on a BlackBerry, and I have fairly fat fingers. I hope I'm not giving away too much information. So somewhat fat fingers. It does get better over time, but it is certainly not... It is the weakest part of the iPhone. That said, I have trouble typing on BlackBerries where they call out the number keypad in a different color. When you have multifunction keys, it's very easy to make it a little confusing. So I actually have trouble typing on a BlackBerry. Even though the keys are better, it's the visual presentation for me throws me off. So yes, and a new app for landscape keyboard is coming in June. And I find if I switch to the landscape keyboard, if I turn my iPhone on the side and get the fatter keyboard, I actually have a harder time typing because I don't type that way often enough and the spacing throws me off. So it's like moving from keyboard to keyboard. Finally, on our video conferencing list, Stickum.com, which very few people have said they heard of. Stickum, again, it's a web-based video conferencing video broadcast site. It allows you to basically broadcast live streaming video, but it also allows you to have, I believe, again, up to 6 people in the room and to basically turn on any of those 6 people just so they are actually then broadcast out to everybody else who's watching as well. So you can have a co-host, you can bring an interview subject in and sort of use it like a television switcher, if you will, where you're having a online streamed interview video with whoever you want to talk to. Live streaming services, and there's some overlap here between the video conferencing sites we saw like Stickum and some others. Ustream.tv, one of the most popular sites out there. I know I use it quite frequently. This last Saturday, I actually used it to live stream a 3.5-hour benefit concert that some friends of mine were doing. They asked me to come in and stream that for them for the first time. We had over, I believe, 190 people watching during some point during the broadcast. We had a high of about 46 people watching at any one time during the broadcast. Again, the fact that we can stream video and audio live to pretty much anywhere in the world with an internet connection simply blows me away. That is something I would have never predicted 15, 20 years ago when I was first getting started in technology back in the old dial-up days. It just didn't seem even possible. But of course, with the advances in technology, it's just exploded. Stick'em, again, can also operate as a live streaming service where you can stream just you, or you can stream you and some of the people in your room as well. Quik.com is a very interesting site in that it is specifically designed to stream video from your cell phone. There are several cell phones, including the Nokia N95 and N96, which is where that was kind of the first phone that people were using to do this. I actually have done the jailbreak on my iPhone, so that this Quik is one of the services I wanted to try out. And basically, there is an unapproved app for Quik.com that runs on the iPhone that allows me to stream live. If I'm on Wi-Fi, it stays pretty much live. I can stream for hours at a time. If I'm on the 3G network, it will buffer the video and basically keep up as long as it can. Typically, you'll run into, by the end of 10 or 15 minutes, you're about a minute or two behind. But the fact is, you're streaming. I've actually streamed my son playing Little League from the ball field. and again, Quik, Kristen says, geez, I feel like I need an iPhone. You don't need an iPhone. I don't want to come off as too much of a pusher on the iPhone, that's for sure. But Quik.com is supported by Nokia devices and other devices, other smartphones out there that allow you to do video on them. So it's not just limited to the iPhone. In fact, on the iPhone, it's not really quote-unquote allowed, but definitely something that I wanted to try out. Ustream TV also has an unapproved application that I can stream to Ustream from my iPhone as well. Again, the Nokia N95, N96, that series of phones will also do that as well. They'll stream to these services too. Finally on the list is Mogulus, however they pronounce it. Mogulus is basically a web-based television switcher. If you've ever seen scenes in movies or television where you're looking in the control room while they're doing a live football event or something, Mogulus is somewhat like that control room, but in your web browser. You can stream live video. You can queue up videos like commercials or segments and stuff and have them play out to your watching audience. You can even link up cameras on various computers, whether in the same building or all across the globe, and then switch between them as if you were switching between cameras using a television switcher. With all that power comes quite a bit of complexity. I'm still fiddling around with it. There are some particular uses I want to put it to, but I still need to spend a bit more time with it to figure out exactly how to make it work. It is quite complex, but it is quite amazing. Whiteboards and wikis. Recently, there's been an explosion. Of course, we're using Adobe Acrobat Connect today, which is a commercial product. But dimdim.com, and by the way, anything you see underlined in the presentation is a link. And if you download the handouts, those links should still be there in the PDF file. So you'll be able to click on any of these links and go out to these sites. Dimdim.com is a webinar environment, including whiteboard, application sharing, slide presentation, chat room for free. Meeting24.tv, similar service. Again, so amazing that there are services like this that you can use for free. Again, if you wanted to step up to pro versions, I'm sure they have them, and you'll get further features. Bojan says Wiz IQ is a free conference tool for $50. There's another one right there that, again, I haven't come across them, so please do share what you know in the chat room. And if you could you please put a link in for people in the chat room so they can check that out as well? Beyond the webinar, kind of combine the whiteboards and the wikis here. Not sure how many people are familiar with wikis. Wikis are getting pretty popular. Wikipedia has kind of exploded everyone's knowledge and use of wikis. I'm a big fan of wikis for doing project management and stuff. There are a couple of free ones out there. The one that I use right now is PBWiki. It used to stand for Peanut Butter Wiki, as in really easy to use. PBWiki.com, again, has free and pro services. MediaWiki.org is actually the site where you can download free open source media wiki software. This software is the same software that is used to run Wikipedia. MediaWiki is the Wikipedia organization, and this is the same software that's used to run the huge Wikipedia site. I have installed it. If you're reasonably knowledgeable in PHP and in the LAMP environment, the Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP environment, of which I am only minorly an expert in that. I was able to get that installed on a server here in my office with very little effort. And all of a sudden then you have the power of Wikipedia, if you will, on your own website, in your own office, wherever you care to install that. And I'm seeing some other mentions. There's another site called Vue, V-Y-E-W. And if you could post the links to those, that'd be great. And share those with everybody. What you're finding there, and we're seeing in the chat room too, that basically for the free services, there is a limit to how many max users you can have. But in one case, it was 50. In another case, it was 20. For the stuff that a lot of us are doing as far as e-learning, 20 to 50 people, please, that's more than enough people in one room at one time to make use of these services, even in their free modes. And blogging. And I have, there's many different blogging services out there. I actually started with blogger.com. In fact, even before the blogging services came up, I was doing something on my website, which was, I realized after the fact, was basically a blog, but I was doing it manually. Blogger.com is now owned by Google and supports a whole series of both hosted services where they will actually host your blog for you, or you can actually integrate the Blogger blogs right into your website. I actually have three blogs which are still on Blogger, and two which I've moved to the next one, a couple down, to WordPress. Now, WordPress.com, the next one in the list, is our free, again, like Blogger, free blog hosting service using the WordPress software. Allows you to set up a quick blog in about 5 minutes, choose a template, and be ready to go. TypePad, another similar blog hosting service. Now, WordPress.org is here because WordPress.org allows you, much like the MediaWiki site, to basically download the WordPress software and run it on your own computer, on your own site. And I actually have two of my blogs that I've transferred over to WordPress running directly on my website. Again, requires some knowledge of the LAMP environment, Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP, although I do know that with my web host GoDaddy, they actually have a one-button install for WordPress, so you can set up a WordPress blog on your site basically by visiting your GoDaddy control panel and clicking a few buttons. And lots of other web hosts also provide that as well. And finally, you can actually use Apple's .me, or what used to be the .mac service, to along with iWeb, their iWeb software, to actually create a blog website directly from your Mac. Microblogging. And this is kind of a new term, but microblogging is a term being applied to things like Twitter, friend feed, updating your Facebook statuses, updating your MySpace and your LinkedIn status. Microblogging, in the case of Twitter, is messages which are under 140 characters in length. They might have a link in them, but it's basically... for those people who don't want to go crazy and set up a full blog using any of the other services, you can use Twitter or FriendFeed or even these status updates as kind of your microblog, your mini blog, which allows you to very quickly put out information, links to interesting stuff you've found, whatever floats your boat in that regard, and create something which is like a blog. Video sharing. Again, YouTube totally has exploded over the last couple of years. So most people are very, very familiar with YouTube. There are many other video sharing sites out there, including Blip TV, which I use, Vimeo, Vidler, Facebook Video. You'll find nearly as many videos on Facebook as you'll find on YouTube sometimes. Seismic, the last three on this list are interesting uses of video. Seismic is a video Twitter, is probably the best description. It's designed to be interactive conversations, asynchronous, which means you post, and then a minute, an hour, a day later, I may post a reply to your video. But it's basically under the same type of idea of Twitter, where it's an ongoing conversation just done in video instead of just with text. 12 Seconds, very interesting site, 12seconds.tv. Basically allows you to do 12-second videos. again... more based on conversation, very much a video Twitter kind of lookalike. Each of these has their own little community that's growing up around them. And Utterly is a very neat site that I've actually made some use of in the past. It allows you to do text, picture, video, and audio posts directly to the Utterly site, which people can then either listen via their cell phone, via making a normal phone call. They can listen using an application. It has allowed me to do some remote interviews where I was basically able to dial the Utterly phone number, hold the cell phone up to myself and my interview subject, and capture something that I might not have been able to capture any other way, simply because I had these tools in my pocket. Great thing about Utterly, because it uses just a standard phone line, it actually works with any phone that you might have. It doesn't have to be a smartphone or anything like that. And really allows you to capture content on the fly, if you will, and actually presents it in a fairly nice environment. All of these sites, by the way, allow you to then embed these videos or this audio or whatever you're sharing directly in your own web pages, your own blog pages. And that's another great use. It basically allows you to bring it back to your own personal site, the place for your stuff, as I say, to quote George Carlin, where you can bring all this media back together on your own site. Link sharing. Google Reader shared items we talked about. Basically, if I share an item in Google Reader, people can monitor that web page or they can monitor the RSS feed for that page and automatically see what I'm finding interesting. Tumblr is another easy link sharing site. StumbleUpon, which you may have heard upon in the past, using the little toolbar, you can rate a site up or down and basically say, hey, this was interesting and I stumbled upon it. You can also use it to discover new sites. And Delicious.com, which has been around longer than any of the above. This is the link sharing service that I use. Basically, it allows you to have bookmarks out there in the cloud rather than sitting on your local computer, so that should I need a link that I've bookmarked before, I basically can have it no matter whose computer I'm on, no matter where I'm at, on my iPhone, on my computer, on a friend's computer, wherever I need to be. And because they use the tagging system of basically tagging links with their, you know, with the type of information they are, people can actually monitor everything that I'm bookmarking in regards to career or to my personal blog or to my gardening blog or whatever. They can actually monitor those specific links that I might be adding to Delicious through no extra effort on my part. To kind of finish up today, got a few minutes left here. Thank you. one of the things that's near and dear to my heart amongst all this new technology and new media out there is podcasting. And I was wondering how many people out there are actually using time shifting in some way to make your training more available. Are you recording your webinars? Are you recording your lectures that you might have in-house, video, audio? Time shifting, thank you, Kristen. Time shifting meaning that the media is available when the end user needs it, rather than something like we're doing today where we have to be in a particular place at a particular time. Time shifting, I think that phrase came first with the VCR, basically having the ability to record something that was airing at 8 o'clock and then watch it the next day or watch it a few hours later, basically shifting the time when broadcast television was available. Nowadays, we've sort of taken that to the nth degree. And the reason I talk about this time travel thing here is because podcasting is near and dear to my heart. And one of the things I love about podcasting is the ability to take all these other media types that we've talked about today, all these other technologies, our videos, our audio, our webinars, whatever, and basically provide to the end user what they want, when they want it, where they want it. And I find in my own personal life so much power in that ability to basically share, provide to the end user what they really need. Again, it combines all the services we mentioned above. It allows them to consume it when and where they want it, to the point of being able to carry it on their iPhone, on their cell phone, on their Arcos video player, on whatever device they have, and consume it wherever they wish. The final major benefit of podcasting, of the course, is the automatic delivery. Using RSS feeds and something as simple as the free iTunes software from Apple for Windows or Mac, people can subscribe to your media stream, to your podcast stream, and receive the media automatically. It just shows up on their computer. They can then watch it whenever they have the time, whenever they have the inclination, And if they have an iPod, doesn't require it, if they have an iPod or other MP3 or video player, they can actually migrate that data to those devices and take it with them. They can be sitting on a bus and basically watching whatever training, whatever thing, whatever information you want to transfer to them on their schedule when they have the most time. So if you haven't checked out podcasting, highly recommend it. It's something I've also talked about in the past. In fact, my day-long workshop at DevLearn 08 was a day-long session on podcasting, where not only did we talk about the whys, but we did some of the what and the hows. I actually showed people microphones and audio recording and video recording and other things like that. Kristen mentions, of course, for doing screenshots and short videos of web, basically what we call screencasts, which are basically recording the actions on your screen for doing software demos and other things like that, the Jing Project, Jing at jingproject.com, and she just put a link in the website, and Jing is jingproject.com. Cheryl asks, how do I record video using my iPhone? And I tell you what, Bill, if you are there, we can go ahead and switch over. I think that's the end of my prepared presentation today. Here's the information about contacting me if you wish. And we'll move right into question and answer here. How do I record video using my iPhone? First of all, you have to jailbreak it. Doesn't mean unlocking. There's two different steps to the phone, you know, the iPhone. Jailbreaking basically puts alternative firmware on the iPhone, which has gotten pretty darn easy to do. Unlocking is opening up the iPhone to other providers, which can have some bad results down the road. You can actually damage your phone in that way. So I don't do that, but what I did want to do is I wanted to be able to use some of these other pieces of software. So once you jailbreak your phone, you will get two alternative app stores on your iPhone. One called Cydia and one called Installer. And from those, you are then able to install video services. Now, one of the best ones I found, which actually records the video directly to the iPhone in QuickTime format, right to the iPhone, like a camcorder, is called Cycorder, and that's Cycorder. There are others out there where, as well, both pay and free. Cycorder is free. You know, the frame rate's low, the screen size is small, the frame size is small, but honestly, it does a fairly decent job. If you want to move on to streaming video, then you're talking about Quick.com, or you're talking about the Ustream broadcaster application for the iPhone, which allows you to do those. Yes, you will. And there is software out there that actually, with very few steps, allows you to do it. And you can definitely find information on the internet about that for sure. Again, I don't want to push the iPhone too much, but other services, other phones also provide some capabilities. For example, Utterly, you could take a video with your standard cell phone, say a standard Nokia cell phone, and actually email it to Utterly, and it would post a video. Obviously, it's not streaming, but it does allow you to capture it and send it and actually post it online. And with something like Utterly.com, you can actually tell Utterly not only just take it to the Utterly site, but go ahead and post that to my own blog once it's on the Utterly site. There's automatic, what do they call it? They call it auto post and forwarding or something like that on Utterly that allows you to do that. Any other questions? Again, on this last slide here, you'll see my website, my email, and my Twitter address. Please feel free to contact me with any questions or comments you might have. As you can tell, I love talking about this stuff. I really think there is a lot of power to be had in technology if people reach out and grab it. So thank you, Suzette. Great to hear. Any other questions? I think we're coming up on our time. I don't want to keep people out of their next session. Bill, can you tell me how many minutes we have left?
Doug, you have 0 minutes left.
I thought so. I was waiting for you to give me my little warning signs, and I didn't see them, so I figured I was watching the clock there. Thanks again, everybody, and I'll turn it back over to Bill. Everyone have a great day, and again, if you have any questions, please feel free to contact me.